Story County Commissioners meeting will now reconvene. Moving on to item number 8, discussion on possible action. Appoint County Commissioner Jack McGuffey to serve as Story County representative on the newly restructured, effective October the 1st, 2017, Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the BNT Railway pursuant to Senate Bill number 57 passed during the 2017 general session of the Nevada Legislature, signed into law by the Honorable Governor Sandoval on May 22nd, 2017.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, I'd like the record to reflect that, particularly with Commissioner Gilman's sudden absence due to the family emergency, as you mentioned, the first thing we did was make sure that Commissioner McGuffey could vote on this item. He has no pecuniary interest. If you think back, literally, the first meeting in January of every year, as a board, as a body, often appoint yourself to regular boards. So that has been given a green light, thumbs up by our district attorney to go ahead and vote. So we can finish this up today, which is good because there are emails going back and forth right now regarding kind of an organizational meeting per se that would meet, I think, before or right about the time the next commission meeting meets. So the reason for this item on the agenda is SB 57 did clearly reconstitute the board and in essence set it up where you've got either a commissioner from Story County or their designee as a board, a supervisor from Carson City or their designee, one each from the Virginia City and Carson City convention groups, and then a governor-appointed fifth one. I don't know who the governor is going to appoint. To the best of my knowledge, the VCTC did meet and appointed Denny Dotson as their representative. So this item today makes it clear and official that Commissioner McGuffey will continue on representing Story County as provided for in SB 57 as the county's delegate or designee, if you would. And staff is very proud to recommend Commissioner McGuffey. We're so glad that he said he did want to continue on. He was very instrumental in SB 57 and getting it passed unanimously through the legislature. Sure. And he has been very critical in his role on the Rail Commission itself, blending both the interests of the county and the Rail Commission. And as I mentioned in my staff report, really fostering what I think are oftentimes win-wins for everybody. So I'm proud to recommend that he be appointed, and so recommend that.
Thanks, Pat. Yep. Jack is the most suitable candidate for this. He's been on this board for 2.5 years, and he knows more what's going on down there than any of the rest of us do. So, all right. With that said, is there any public comment regarding item 8, appointing Commissioner McGuffey to the BNT Reconstruction Board? Hearing none, at this time, I move to appoint Mr. Jack McGuffey to serve as a representative to the Commission of Reconstruction of the BNT Railway.
That's effective October 1st.
Effective October the 1st. Okay. Want to second that?
I'll second that.
Been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Maybe aye. All right, let's move on now to item number 9, discussion of possible action. Let's set a date for a workshop related to property tax relief. Pat?
Yes. In Mr. Gallagher's absence, we've been working behind the scenes. Our tax analyst consultant, Mr. Gransberry, has played an integral role in taking a look at various items that we're still trying to find an answer to this request that gets us what we want. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about where we are. We're consulting in addition with Mr. Gransberry, if you and I. We're reaching out, as I've mentioned in the past, to Jeremy Aguero and Marty Johnson and Mary Walker. All three are very highly respected in the field of taxes and finance. The issue becomes the property tax caps and abatements. If we were to look at a rate rollback as was originally discussed, it's going to have really two net effects that I don't think are desirable to this board. One is, and this is our biggest consistent dilemma, no matter which door we open, it's going to provide all the tax relief to those that are paying the most taxes. And specifically, those are the big gun products out at Tri, eventually even Tesla, and more importantly, probably on a centrally assessed basis, it's going to hit us with MB Energy and the power company. And to give you an idea, Tom and Hugh came up with some numbers as to where, particularly looking, focusing at our general fund, which consistently has about $2 million in surplus in any given year. So if you cut that in half and said we had $1 million to play with, keeping $1 million just as a cushion, you'd be looking at tribe-based businesses would get $650,000 of that back, 65%. Centrally assessed, mostly the power company with a few other players in there too, would get 22%. So 87% of any tax relief that we come up with seems to take it really to those entities and not to the average taxpayer that I think was the strong desire to get it out there. Mr. Aguero actually came up with an interesting approach that we could take a look at another non-tax fee, and we are looking at that. We're actually looking at maybe rebating, using the tax monies and reducing other fees, and in specific, it might be the 1% electric fee, electric tax, utility tax that we have. And that's a concept that, again, we're crunching numbers, but to be very candid with you, the big ratepayers are also going to be the ones that feel it. So long story short, we're extremely concerned from a strategic standpoint about reducing the rate. Mr. Johnson at one point in time said, if you know you're not going to need a single penny for the next 20 years, then you might be okay rolling the rate back, but all the people are telling us to be very careful with rate rollbacks because of the lack of flexibility. Long story short, we're still doing research. So I would suggest we workshop this. Hugh and I and Tom talked. We want to keep it alive. I don't know the answer. And that's not for not trying, believe me, but I would suggest to you we set a workshop date of the second meeting in October just to go ahead and set it and continue to foster those discussions, have Hugh, Tom, and I keep our eye on the ball and work with these other folks to see if there's anything we can do that becomes meaningful as winding up in the pockets of the average taxpayer. So it would be staff's recommendation to set that workshop for October 17th.
All right. Any public comment on this? Okay. Yeah. You know, as we look into this further, and we look at to when, you know, we know that we have a huge abatement going on in the park. As these abatements expire, if that's what you call it, or the term limit themselves, and once Tesla comes online, now you look at a substantial revenue coming into the county. But until we get to that point, what we're looking at right now,
yeah,
you know, to go ahead to do the rollback, I mean, is on your and my tax bill, we're going to see a couple of dollars.
That is the dilemma that we seem to be facing. You know, the other abatements too, and again, it would help in some respects the average ratepayer, but keep in mind that, you know, the ability, if we ever hit a downturn, and I don't think if is the operable word, we've hit them. We just had enough reserves to go ahead and survive the last depression, down cycle, whatever you want to call it. But when we hit those, property taxes plummet in free fall based on assessed values. But they have a restriction on their, particularly on residential units, that they go up by no more than 3%. And we're finding out in many local government jurisdictions that they're going up by much, much less than that due to some secondary formulas. So it is definitely something we want to be very cautious of
Well, sure. And even during the downturn and the recession, with reduced revenues based on that rate, the county refrained from raising the tax rate.
That is correct.
In order to try to generate those lost dollars.
That is correct.
So, yeah. Okay.
And we may, you know, if I may just go one step further, and hopefully these items, Tom, if you would go back and maybe take some notes, we can get them out there officially during the workshop as well. But, you know, we know for a fact that we've got at least one and probably two fire stations we're going to have to staff in the coming months. We're hitting our five-mile ISO wall, if you will, out there. And while the developer agreement clearly says they will build it and we will pay them back from net proceeds, there is an allowance for staffing, and we still have to come up with the money from staffing. And you know what may be a prudent thing to take a look at as we go is staffing it. These are not going to be big fire stations. They're going to be crews of two, I think, in each location. You know, what we may want to do is lower the general because we're probably going to have to raise the district in some respect. So lots of angles to this, lots of layers of the onion, so to speak.
All right. Good. Thanks, Pat. So, you want to set a date, October?
October 17th.
October 17th?
Please.
Okay. Can I get a motion to set the date?
Okay.
Whoops, excuse me. Yes. I'm sorry. It is October 17th.
My fault. 17th. October 17th.
Correct. Right.
I'll make a motion to have a workshop related to property tax relief on October 17th, 2017.
You have a time?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. here in this courtroom?
Yep.
Right.
Second to motion. I move to second it to go ahead and set up a workshop for property tax relief on October the 17th, 2017. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Number 10. Discussion of possible action. Approve resolution number 17-473, appointing administrator to administer process for approving reimbursements to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the TRI, for public infrastructure constructed by TRI and dedicated to Story County as required by the TRI Public-Private Partnership Capital Improvement Plan. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. The proposal is brought about by the fact that Dean Hamer has retired. He was formerly the administrator of the Capital Improvement Plan, and so we need to appoint a new administrator to fill that position. Now, what the administrator does under the Capital Improvement Plan is the reviews applications from TRI for reimbursement of costs of providing public infrastructure proposed to be constructed by TRI and later dedicated to the county for eligibility and completeness. He has to review and determine estimates and final determinations of reimbursable costs, as that term is defined in the Capital Improvement Plan. He administers the vouchers for the reimbursable costs approved by the Board of County Commissioners. And he initiates and administers the annual accounting determination procedures and periodic updates and revisions of the CIP. And then he finally performs all other duties specified in the Capital Improvement Plan for the administrator to perform, as well as duties necessary and incidental thereto. So the proposal at this point is to move, I mean, it's become much more of a financial issue, really, than an infrastructure issue. But so the proposal is to have Pat Whitten fill the position of administrator with the assistance from Hugh and Gary Hames as that becomes necessary.
And also Public Works.
And Public Works.
There you go.
And if I may, and I'm glad Chris made it today as Tri's transaction manager, you know, there will be some changes, not major ones, but for instance, you know, I think we can acknowledge essentially publicly, because I live in a public records world, and this was not a restricted email, but, you know, we expect that we'll be approached by sub-developers, you know, on building roads. That seems to be, you know, probably where we're headed. And one of the items we feel ill-prepared to do that'll need to be factored in is probably some QC when it comes to standards for roads, Red Book standards. I think is the book that's used. So we'll be working with you guys. We think Black Eagle could probably handle that. But we will make a few of those fine tune changes and go from there.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, for the record. Why is it necessary to move this function out of community development into your hands, Pat? Specifically, where are the checks and balances going to come from? To the extent that if you have a subordinate, whoever it is, that is handling this, you serve as the manager at a detail level as, you know, those checks and balances. You being at the top of that pyramid, you're not going to be bringing detail into this commission meeting. So how is this good, both from a transparency standpoint and from a checks and balances standpoint?
Well, from a transparency standpoint, I guess my answer, Nicole, would be these are public records. You know, there's nothing closed door about the process. And, in fact, over the years, working somewhat with Chris, but mostly with Bob Sater, we've developed a routine where we being the commission, not the county manager, pre-approves. So these are staff functions, in my opinion, that you're asking about. They aren't necessarily full approval functions. And again, trust me, I have no intention. What we've learned, I guess, in having this at community development was some of the details of these processes extend beyond the expertise housed in community development. As Keith's done a very good job summarizing probably the three major players that would be involved in there. There would be our public works department from a road standpoint and a drainage standpoint, because they're the ones that inherit the projects after we accept dedication of them and put them on the voucher list. They would clearly be community development still from a design and improvement process. They would also, in some cases, you know, I hope we're not limiting ourselves here, because it does say other, utilize the services of others, including when we build a fire station, Chief Nevin will have full recommendation authority, and then it'll come before this commission to pre-approve it through the process. So I hope I've answered your question. I'm really not the decision maker. Our agreement requires that the county have an administrator, and it is staff functional more than approving, and everything will come before this board.
It still hasn't answered checks and balances, and it also, you know, from an organizational standpoint, it goes opposite of what you want to do in an organization, which is to push the decisions down to the level that actually have the knowledge and the interaction. You can essentially say that you, because you have a broad view of all the functions, are the best person in the entire county to perform all of those functions. So, again, the question of why has it moved from community development into your hands, to me, hasn't been answered yet, because I don't understand how it was that Dean Haymore was able to coordinate between the same other functions to get it done, and now Gary Haymore, whom you're paying... Gary Haynes, rather, whom you're paying a great deal of money to manage community development, isn't capable of doing that?
For the record, we're paying Gary substantially less than Mr. Haymore made. At the point in time, the developer agreement or the capital improvement plan specifically called for the need to have an administrator, and Mr. Haymore was assigned. There was no county manager. There was no controller. There was a public works director who bluntly could have cared less about anything out at Trot. He only cared about Virginia City at the time. So I think we're doing the most business prudent thing, and I think I have answered your question. There is no one central place that's going to do this. And again, for the record, when we look at road design, I'm going to be looking at our public works director. I'm not going to be determining what that road design is.
Okay.
So I believe I've answered questions best I can.
Mrs. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy District Attorney, Chris Thompson, Tellerino Industrial Center Project Manager. I'd like to reinforce what Pat said. I talked to our counsel, Bob Sater, this morning about this item, and he confirmed this is a cleanup issue. It's required by the contract to have someone designated. In the past, it was understood that it was Dean Haymore, but at this point, it's a good time in a transition to make that formal designation as to who's in charge. And I think it does make sense if the county so desires to have it someone other than community development, because in approving vouchers, it does involve more than that department. There's financial issues, there's contractual issues, as well as building construction and planning issues. And so it seems like you would want it with someone who does have some reach in all those areas. I think this is a good change, and we have no problem at all with this. As far as the records go, the TRI Story County Public Partnership is audited every year in a true audit under AICPA standards. That's open for the public to see what the revenues are, and the vouchers are all public records as well as the payments. So there's no issue here on transparency. The last thing I'll offer is that if anybody thinks that Pat Whitten is not a check on TRI, they should come into a meeting with Pat and Roger and me sometime. And I can tell you that we've had some jousting tournaments together. So there is no arm in arm here on financial stuff. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Okay. Any other public comment?
Mr. Chairman, if I might add, the voucher process is designed to determine how much is owed to TRI for the infrastructure. And that voucher process is going to be headed up by Pat, but it's going to go through the comptroller, who has an independent review function to make sure that the vouchers are appropriate. And then it comes to the board for the final approval as to whether or not the county is going to accept the vouchers.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Gentlemen, Sam Toll for the record. I had the privilege of spreading the message of liberty down in Sacramento Valley, Placer County, to high school students, and had a conversation with the three county supervisors who used to represent me, and we're talking about developer expenses and the responsibility and the burden of the taxpayer to help those. They had all recounted how in Placer County the economy after the Air Force bases closed, and they brought in companies like Hewlett-Packard and NEC. They expected those companies to bear the burden of infrastructure costs as they came in, and did so at the to the benefit of the Story County taxpayer. Ms. Bard brought up the point of checks and balances. And the opportunity for public scrutiny of those items. As a guy who's got several public records requests open now, which have been unfilled, a couple of them since early March, I can share with you difficulty in obtaining some of that information, and also I guess more accurately or more appropriately for this specific instance, knowing what questions to ask. In other words, if these transactional proposals are broadcast or pushed rather than someone knowing that they are coming up and then knowing that they need to ask questions, perhaps that would be a better, a more fluid display of transparency. But I think that that the real issue here is that a person who has the direct responsibility for the fiduciary responsibility of the taxpayers would be Mr. Gallagher's office. And I think that he's a guy who I think would be more his office and the jurisdiction of and the responsibility of this would perhaps be more appropriate in his lap. I know Mr. Whitten is very busy. He's got a lot of things to deal with. The granular nature of those transactions and that responsibility certainly would detract him or keep him from other areas. And the fact that Mr. Gallagher's responsibility is that of financial responsibility to the county and the taxpayers, I think would be a better place for that responsibility to live.
Maybe so. You were out of the room when it was brought up that Mr. Gallagher will be participating in this process.
I did hear that. However, I think he should be responsible for it, and that it should be the primary responsibility of his office. Because, you know, and to be honest with you, I'd be delighted to do it for free, operating as the watchdog bulldog for the taxpayers. But the fact that I'm not a county official, you could certainly appoint me as one, and I'd be delighted to take it over as well. I think Mr. Gallagher is a much more appropriate person. Thank you.
Thanks.
And again, Mr. Chairman, as I have specifically mentioned, Mr. Gallagher will be, and the Comptroller's office will be a key part. So is Public Works in terms of roads and drainage. So is Community Development in terms of permitting as well. And as that list goes on, so are others that aren't necessarily spelled out specifically, including the District Attorney's office who's involved. So it is not solely on the shoulders of Mr. Gallagher. But he is integral in this, along with the others that I've mentioned repeatedly.
Okay. Well, I see it as—I won't say solely on the county manager, but the county manager runs the county, and you should be involved with that. Yes.
Any other public comment? At this time, I guess the district attorney to go ahead and read the resolution.
As a resolution appointing administrator to administer provisions of the TRI Public-Private Partnership Capital Improvement Plan addressing the reimbursement of costs incurred by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center in constructing public infrastructure dedicated to Story County. Whereas the development agreement between the County of Story, the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC, and DP Operating Partnership LP includes as Exhibit E the TRI Public-Private Partnership Capital Improvement Plan, and whereas the CIP requires the Board of County Commissioners to select a county official as the administrator to administer the process by which TRI is reimbursed for the cost of constructing public infrastructure, which is dedicated to and accepted by the county, and to perform other duties as set forth in the capital improvement plan. And whereas previously the position of administrator was filled by Dean Haymore, whom has recently retired, leaving the position vacant. Now, therefore, is it hereby resolved that County Manager Pat Whitten be appointed as the new administrator with the authority to perform all of the functions set forth in the Capital Improvement Plan. In acting as the administrator, County Manager Pat Whitten is authorized to call upon and receive assistance from the Community Development Department, the Public Works Department, and the Comptroller's Office.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Resolution read. If I can get a motion to approve this.
Okay, and I think this motion says it clearly as well. I move to approve resolution number 17-473, appointing Pat Whitten as the administrator over the process of reimbursing TRI Center for public infrastructure built by TRI and dedicated to county, and authorize the chairman to sign.
Second to motion. And moved and seconded to approve resolution number 17-473. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Moving on now to item number 11, discussion of possible action. Second reading for general out-of-county business license. Applicant is Universal Protection Service, LLC. Sheriff Antonoro.
As I said in the first reading, this is a national company. They're now wanting to expand into Story County. They've got offices and facilities from coast to coast, met all of the state requirements for security companies, and I think they'd make a good addition to services in the county. So I would recommend they be approved.
Very good. Any public comment regarding this? Okay, if I can get a motion. to approve.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the general out-of-county business license for Universal Protection Services, LLC. Corporate address is 161 Washington Street, number 600, Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. 194, the zip code is 19428. Doing business as Allied Universal Security Services, P.O. Box 800, Monsey, New York. Zip code 10952. Location of operations is 4000 Southeastern Avenue, number 100, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89119.
I'll second your motion. So it's been moved to second to approve Universal Protection Services out of county business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving on now to item number 12, discussion of possible action. Approval of contract with TW Venting Incorporated, DBA Turnkey Corrections to provide inmate services, including video visitation, telephone services, inmates email, and commissary services.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This has been before you a couple of times at this point. Mm-hmm. The basic plan was that there were communication services being provided by Securus. There were commissary services being provided by Swanson. The Sheriff's Office desired to go to a single vendor and received interest in the proposal from Turnkey Corrections. The problem that presented is the fact that the contract with Swanson has some fairly onerous damage provisions if the county is deemed to be in breach of the provisions of that contract. And what you had asked us to do is to go back and try to get a figure as to what would be the amount of those damages. And the way the damages were calculated were going to be based upon the highest weekly receipts received by the Sheriff's Office for commissary privilege over the period of last year. We did get that number from the Sheriff. And I think that the number came out around $2,000. That was not, and that would not include interest and attorney's fees if those are ultimately asked for. We did send a notice of termination of the Swanson contract to Swanson at an address they had given to us in their contract in Denver, Colorado. That address turned out to no longer be good as Swanson has been taken over by somebody else. We received that notice of termination back in about July. We contacted the current representative of the vendor, and he advised us, look, send me an email. I'll get it on to upper management, which we did do. It has a 90-day termination provision, which would cause it to terminate on October 20th at this point. We have not heard anything from upper management or from Mr. Coy, who's the local representative down in Sacramento. So we're here to see whether or not there's a appetite on the part of the board to go ahead and make the change in light of the potential liability that may exist if Swanson perceives us as being in breach of contract and thinks it's worth pursuing.
Sheriff, when would this current contract expire with Swanson for Securus?
I believe it's not until 2019.
I think that's right.
Okay. The current contract with Swanson.
Okay. And the maximum of damages we're looking at are $2,000 if they don't want to accept the early termination?
That's our estimate, yes.
Okay. And you're not happy with what you're getting with these other companies, is that correct?
And this was a contract that was entered into in 2008, 2009, somewhere around there, and it automatically renewed. The services are somewhat lacking, but this cleans everything up, provides it all under a single service provider, and actually expands our abilities to provide services to the inmates, and they foot the bill for all of it, basically.
One-stop shopping?
Yep.
Is the fee less than what you're paying before?
There is no fee with Turnkey. Mm-hmm. It's all based on users of the system, i.e. the inmates, or one expansion of services would be the video visitation. So if Mr. Loomis gets locked up in jail and you want to consult with him, you can go online and do that, and one of the two of you are paying for it, either you as a user or Mr. Loomis as the inmate. So there is no fee to the county.
Okay.
I think it's a poor example of that.
I thought it was, it just worked.
And Sheriff, this is actually adding to the services.
Yes, it expands our services, improves what we have, and actually expands them.
Okay. Good questions, Sam?
No, we've been through this a few times. So, yeah.
Okay. How about public comment? Good enough. Well, I think it's a good
motion?
Move.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. Yeah. I move to approve the agreement for inmate services with Turnkey Corrections and authorize the sheriff to sign.
I'll second your motion. Been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good. Moving along now to item number 13, discussion and possible action. Approval of resolution number 17-472, a resolution pursuant to NRS 244-290, determining that maintenance of a portion of assessor's parcel number 005-061-42, slope area, is unnecessarily burdensome to the county and that the reconveyance to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, would be in the best interest of the county and its residents, and authorizing the representative of the board to issue a written order of reconveyance of a portion of slope area to Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, LLC, TRI, and if said offer is accepted, to execute a deed which will reconvey said real property and cause the deed to be recorded. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne, Planning Director, for the record. I passed out in front of you an exhibit that goes to this. There's one on the rail there for the public as well, and one to the clerk. What we have here is a property out at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. It is owned by Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and adjacent to it to the north. So I'm going to point you a little bit through that exhibit. First, you'll see one with a little yellow arrow. And that is where the subject property is. If you turn it over to the back side, you see some detail. So the subject property is about 11 acres. I won't talk about whether it's 11 or 13, depending on what status you use as far as what we did last time with the Germany Circle reconveyance, but we'll just say it's about 11 acres. What they want to do is they want to grade that, do some cut and fill, and then there's an area needed for the fill. It's a slope area. And they can put it on their property or they can put it on our property. We don't want to put it on our property. So what we're doing is we're just going to take that adjacent land to the west. It's 2 acres. It's about 50 feet wide. It goes down along the whole edge of that 13 or 11 acre property. And it would simply accommodate fill slope. We would reconvey that property from Story County back to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And that property is undeveloped. There is nothing on it. It is a natural drainage area that was carved out on or about 2008 as far as part of the overall site drainage plan. And it is property that would actually be developed and become part of the taxable value and become property subject to revenue.
How did Story County acquire this property originally?
The property is ours, so Tri bought all the land, and then for roads and for drainage and for improvements and, you know, other things like that, that property then is dedicated to Story County. In this case, Story County was just to maintain it. It's not really taxable value land. It's very steep and nasty topography. It's kind of useless land, and we used it as part of the overall drainage system. The area is growing. As you remember from the last meeting, we had Germany Circle extend out. Tri does want to develop this property. It's a benefit to the county because it takes property right now that makes no taxable value and puts it into taxable value. And it's property that there has been no Tri payback on. As the comptroller's office indicates, there's no improvements on it. And it is dead property that has nothing to do with anything necessary. The drainage, it's a natural drainage area. The area I've walked it, it is not part of an area that's within a drainage channel or any other type of thing that would be seen as potentially a infrastructure development or anything like that. So we're simply asking that we reconvey that land back to Tri, they'll develop it, and then I'll go back into the taxable value. With the agenda package, there also is the resolution, of course, and then there's the Exhibit A. And the Exhibit A contains a map as well. This will be what actually is part of the record and part of the resolution. And it shows that hashed area as the 2 acres, 50-foot wide area, that will be used to fill slope.
So we're not selling this property to the TRI. We're just gonna go ahead and reconvey it back to them.
Yep, right. They gave it to us, but it was useless, and now we're giving them back a portion of it.
Okay.
I think it's very important to note that there is no debt. No debt was asked or assumed on this. No vouchers were passed.
Okay.
And actually, as Austin has pointed out, the benefit to us is it will be now, under TRI's ownership, developable and therefore taxable upon sale.
Well, it's taxable right upon reconveyance, right?
Before
it's developed, yeah. It's going to be taxable.
Yeah, even before it's developed, it'll be taxable.
Okay. All right, let's take public comment. Ms. Barr.
Nicole Barr, for the record. I just need to get educated on the language in these land giveaways that we do with TRI. It is usually said that it is an undue burden to the county. Is standard language. We did that with USA Parkway, we did that with the last TRI land giveaway, and we're doing it with this one. What is it with that particular term? Because, based on what I've heard, this isn't so much about it being a burden on the county as it is, we're not going to lose anything, we potentially have something to gain by giving it to them. It will be taxable on reconveyance or when we develop it. So, again, I just need a little education on what is the language that, and it's a legal question, why is the language always it's an undue burden?
I can answer that.
Okay. I wish you would.
It's 244.290 says that reconveyance to the party that originally dedicated the property to the county can be made if the property is an undue burden to maintain or it's in the best interest of the county. So as one or the other, typically we put both of those in there. We put in both undue burden and in the best interest of the county into these resolutions that provide for the reconveyance.
Because I would suggest that since this is a sloped area, we're not going to build a fire station on it.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying that I'm asking the question on the language. And okay. I guess you'd answered it because it's which NRS?
244.290.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any more public comment on this?
Sam Toll for the record, Gold Hill. Does this property have any value, any monetary value? Is this property worth anything? Is it free?
Go ahead.
I mean, is it?
I'm not an appraiser. But I would suggest this property, where it's located, is on a very steep slope. It's on the back end of a drainage area, a natural canyon. I would say it is not a developable parcel. This is not a parcel that typically is going to be developed. It's not accessed from anything. It would be a landlocked area of land by the parcels that are around it. There's a railroad on one side of it. There's a drainage on the other side of that railroad. Then there's a canyon, then a cliff, then this property.
The structure of it doesn't look like a gerrymandered voting district. The point of my question is that, as we just discussed moments ago, the voucher system is now under the purview of Mr. Whitten. So if I was the guy that you had selected as the bulldog to oversee the vouchers and these type of transactions, I would assign a value to that property because it's worth something. And then I would request that whatever that value is, whether it's $5, 50 cents, $500, a dollar an acre, whatever it is, that be removed from our debt, from the debt of the taxpayers for TRI. I think that it's disingenuous to suggest that we simply over and over again, I don't want to use an off-color remark, so I'll just say allow TRI to take advantage of the taxpayers without putting up a fight ever. And I think that it's appropriate for us to consider diligently every single transaction every time. I know that Germany Circle was on the agenda last go-round, that we also gave land back to TRIC with no benefit to the taxpayer. And I think that that's really the responsibility of you gentlemen and would think that we would get something for it.
You don't think that there's a benefit here of putting this back on the tax rolls and then having a developed piece of property that's going to be paying real and personal property?
There absolutely is. And it benefits TRI because they're going to be the people who benefit from that land when it gets sold.
Wait a minute, Sam. You don't think it's going to benefit the rest of the taxpayers of Story County?
Proportionately? No, I don't. Well, so what do you think that the amount of taxes that we will generate?
Well, we don't know it's going to be built there yet. But
right.
Right now we're collecting zero.
Right.
When this is reconveyed to them, they will start paying tax on it immediately.
Do we have a feel for what that tax value is?
We have to go to
the
assessor and find out.
Okay, so I would.
There's an immediate reward for the county.
And there's a long-term reward for TRI, which outweighs, I would suspect, and I will do some research with Jim to check it out.
I'm just going to disagree with that.
Very good. Thank you very much,
Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy District Attorney, Chris Thompson, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You know, it's clear that, Mr. Chairman, I think some people view the term economic development as a transfer of money from the private sector to government. And economic development has to be a partnership between the private sector and government. And this particular slope, this is not TRI's slope. This is a slope for a buyer who has a grading plan for those parcels. It's the buyer and the engineer that's working with the buyer that is coming up with this outline of the parcel. They're the ones who are saying that they need this slope in order for the deal to close. And the consequences, either the buyer could decide to reconfigure their slope, in which means that less property is on the tax rolls, or just do away with the buy altogether if they can't get that slope easement. The other thing this does that hasn't been brought up is that by transferring this slope and this maintenance area to the buyer that's coming in, is any maintenance or slope subsidence responsibility now falls on the buyer and not on the county who would otherwise own that land. It's amazing to see some short-sightedness by some folks on stuff like this. But thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right. More public comment? All right. Who wants to read the resolution? There it is. Mr. Williams, want to read it?
Sure. So read the resolution for me. Okay. Resolution number 17-472. A resolution pursuant to NRS 244-290 determining that maintenance of a portion of assessor parcel number 0050-6142 slope area, quote-unquote, is unnecessarily burdensome to the county and that reconveyance to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, TRI, would be in the best interest of the county and its residents, and authorizing a representative of the board to issue a written offer of reconveyance of a portion of slope area to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, TRI, and if said offer is accepted, to execute a deed which will reconvey said real property and cause said deed to be recorded. It is hereby resolved by the Board of County Commissioners, Story County, Nevada, whereas assessor parcel number 0050-6142 was dedicated to Story County by deed from the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, TRI, recorded on May 2, 2012, as document number 011-6608, in the office of the Recorder of Story County, and whereas NRS 244-290 provides that the county may reconvey all the right, title, and interest of the county in and to any land dedicated to the person by whom the land was dedicated, if the board determines that maintenance of the property is unnecessarily burdensome to the county, or that reconveyance will be in the best interest of the county and its residents, and whereas, as a result of dedication to Story County Assessor, parcel number 0050642, Story County has been required to maintain an area described below, which is a portion of a steep slope of a drainage way, and whereas, a legal description and map of the slope area that Story County will offer to reconvey is attached hereto as Exhibit A and Exhibit B, and whereas, the real property adjacent to the slope area, assessor parcel number 0050646, quote-unquote hilltop, is owned by Tri. This parcel is a hill which Tri or a successor purchaser must grade a flat in order to develop an industrial or commercial building thereon. The grading of the hilltop will necessitate construction of a hill slope on the slope area, potentially causing Story County additional costs if not properly maintained. Whereas, the maintenance of the slope area by Story County is unnecessarily burdensome, and as if as an alternative, Tri or its successor owners of the hilltop will accept a reconveyance thereof and therefore be responsible for its maintenance. Whereas the sale and deed of the hilltop will facilitate and enhance the county master plan goal of encouraging economic development in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, which is the best interest of the Story County and its residents by providing employment and increasing county tax revenues. And now, therefore, it be resolved that the Story County Board of County Commissioner determines that maintenance of the slope area described in Exhibit A, which has been dedicated to Story County, is unnecessarily burdensome to the county, and that reconveyance to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, LLC, would be in the best interest of the county and its residents, and authorizing the representative of the board to issue a written offer of reconveyance of the slope area to Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, LLC, and, if said offer is accepted, to execute a deed reconveying the slope area and cause said deed to be recorded. Be it further resolved that this resolution shall be effective upon adoption.
Thank you, Austin. Any other public comment? I mean, if I can get a motion to approve this resolution.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, High Commissioner Jack McGuffey motion to approve resolution number 17-472, a resolution pursuant to NRS 244.290, determining that the maintenance of a portion of the assessor's parcel number 005-061-42, known as the slope area, is unnecessarily burdensome to the county, and that the reconveyance to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, LLC, would be in the best interest of the county and its residents, and authorizing a representative of the board to issue a written offer of reconveyance of a portion of slope area to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, LLC, also known as TRI, and if said offer is accepted, to execute a deed which will reconvey said real property and cause the said deed to be recorded.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution number 17-472. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Next up on our list is item 15. This is a discussion of possible action. Approval of professional services agreement between Story County Fire Protection District with OnQ Global, LLC, whereby OnQ Global will provide a fire inspector slash coordinator to provide fire inspection and coordination services until the county hires an employee to provide those these services. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is a... As you're aware, the county is in the process, and the fire district is in the process of moving the fire inspection services from the fire district to the community development department. It was anticipated that an individual from the fire department would move to the community development department to provide those fire inspection services, but that did not happen. Now, by ordinance, In the ordinance that created the fire district, the county board of commissioners gave the fire district the authority to conduct commercial inspections. And so commercial inspections lies with the fire district until such time as it's moved over. We're in the process of drafting an interlocal agreement to accomplish that transfer. But in the meantime, there is a need for fire inspection services that is delegated to the fire protection district, and we have a contract as proposed in front of you now that provides for the hiring of an individual employed by OnQ Global LLC to provide those fire inspection services. The contract says that the fire district will assign this individual to the Department of Community Development on a temporary basis to act under the supervision of the Community Development Department until the county hires its own fire marshal to provide the services through the Community Development Department.
Very good. Thank you.
Let me just add that this goes back to that individual started on August 14th, so this is a little bit of a catch-up.
All right. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay.
And that individual is an integral component in aspects of all projects, and especially Tesla.
Okay. Well, there's a lot going on out there. Okay, we'll take public comment.
Thank you. Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. Agenda item 15. OnQ Global LLC. Does anybody know who owns the company or where they're from? Boy, I got a Michael Shoup out of Peoria, Arizona, and I see a non-registered, not commercial registered agent in Las Vegas. How can this be to the best benefit of Story County to deal with people that live out of state or in southern Nevada? Who is this Michael Shoup?
Michael Shoup is the president of OnQ Global.
Boy, one managing officer and a non-commercial registered agent. What happens if you need to serve them papers or you got any questions, man? There'll be nowhere to be found. I just object to this. And for the record, I'll give the printout from the Secretary of State's office to the clerk to file as part of my public comment. This is outlined.
I might add that the individual that's going to be working for the Community Development Department is John Gillenwater, who previously served as the chief of the Central Lyon County Fire Protection District and still, to my knowledge, still resides in this area.
That is correct, and also has been working through OnQ Global, to the best of my knowledge, on behalf of Tesla as an independent inspector as well. So we basically are just borrowing John's services, paying for them direct while we go through the process. I think we have interviews scheduled for a fire inspector on Friday.
And the fact that this is with OnQ Global LLC, it is a domestic corporation authorized to conduct business in the state of Nevada, so it's a perfectly valid contract.
Of course it is. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Any other public comment? Come on up. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record. I think Mr. Loomis and Mr. Whitten pretty much explained everything. I just want to add the reason we have done this is that Mr. Loomis said the fire marshal that we had at the time was not a fire marshal anymore. We needed a fire marshal immediately. Tesla can't wait. The companies out at the industrial park can't wait for us to get a fire marshal for 60 to 90 days. This was put in place as a patch for up to 90 days, and that's it, for us to get that person in place, which happened to be Mr. Gillenwater, who, Pat is correct, was working out at Tesla for OnQ, and then could not only work at Tesla, but could also work at the other companies outside of Tesla under this contract to do these critical fire prevention duties.
Plus, he's totally qualified.
Extremely qualified.
He's got a history in the fire service.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Any other public comment?
Gentleman Samsole, for the record, Gold Hill. So the fire marshal quit or was transferred. We're now currently in a temporary interim basis contracting with QTEL, I guess it is. When we hire a permanent replacement for the fire marshal, will he be a county employee or will he be employed by Battleborne Consulting?
He will not be employed by Battleborne Consulting. It's being determined through legal staff for consultations. He will either be an employee of the fire district temporarily until the memorandum of understanding that Mr. Loomis referred to has been potentially approved by both this board and the fire district board, and or he will be an employee, he or she, excuse me, will be an employee of the county depending if that memorandum has already been approved, but they are not an employee of Battleborne Consulting LLC.
So it's possible that we could enter into a permanent contractual relationship with OnQ Global? Is that?
No.
No. So there will be a county employee?
Yes. Well, I qualify that to say, Sam, it will either be a county employee or an employee of the Story County Fire Protection District.
Okay.
One of the two.
Paid for by taxpayer dollars, not on a private contract basis.
That is correct.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps I can add to that. The interlocal agreement, as it's now contemplated, both the county and the Fire Protection District adopted the 2012 edition of the International Fire Code. So they both have enacted that. So one is a set of rules and regulations for the fire district, one is actually an ordinance for the county. But the creating ordinance put the authority to do inspections with the fire district. And what we're going to propose to do is transfer that authority through the interlocal agreement to the county, and then the county will hire an employee to conduct those fire inspections through community.
Very good. Thank you for the explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Commissioner, Austin Osborne for the record. The question keeps coming up again and again, whether it's at these meetings or whether it's in the community, whether we are having employees at any time now or in the future working for Battleborne Consulting. I'm happy to put on the record that there's no plan of that. There's no discussion of that. It is not going to happen. We have informed our employees that it is not going to happen. We've informed the union that it is not going to happen. Battleborne has expressed no interest whatsoever in taking over employees. So I just want that on the record as clear that that is not the plan, nor is it ever going to happen. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none. Commissioner McGuffey.
Okay. I move to approve the contract between Story County Fire Protection District and OnQ Global LLC and authorize the chairman to sign.
Second your motion. Moves in second to approve the professional service agreement between Story County and OnQ Global. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We're going to adjourn as the Story County Fire Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. And next up on our agenda is item 17. This is discussion and possible action. Review and approve low bid for the 2017 road rehabilitation project to Intermountain Slurry Seal, Incorporated, in the amount of $377,500.
County Manager, Chairman, Commissioner, Deputy DA. We just got the bid back.
Don't forget to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, Jason Worsnick for the record. But we got to receive the bid, and Intermountain Slurry Seal was lowest, with the base bid and the bid alternate coming to $377,500. And speaking with Far West Engineering, both of us recommend that we accept this bid.
If I may add, Mr. Chairman, I think as our acting public works director, Jason's done a great job. This was work that was scheduled as part of the budgeting process. We're actually coming in a bit under budget by making the most cost-effective fixes, particularly, as you might notice, I believe it's on merit Mary Glenn?
Full rebuild on Tom Sawyer, double chip on Martin, Prospector, Mary, and Julie.
Right.
With that and bid A in there, that put a double chip on Mary Lane.
And by doing bid A as opposed to bid B, bid alternate B, that does hold back a decent sized money for other unanticipated projects. We've got at least three in front of Jason right now, and every time I see them, they grow. But we do have a small section of strip of street on O Street. To the best of my knowledge, maybe the only unpaved road inside the town of Virginia City. There probably are a few others that prefer gravel, but it's a mud bog during the wintertime for our public safety folks. Commissioner McGuffey, as you pointed out, you know, we hope to be able to do some improvements on county-owned right away on Cartwright to provide for safer parking. And then we have a nice new parking lot across from Community Services. And as soon as we can kick out the contractor, which I'm not sure if they're occupying that by permission or by default, but we might have to kick the contractor out for a few days so that we can stripe that before the end of the season.
Good.
So Jason's done a great job.
Thank you.
And Intermountains, who did this work last year, correct?
I believe so.
I think we have a history with them.
Yeah, continuation of a methodical plan to maintain and hold on to the streets throughout the county that we own. We did Cartwright and Lowestown last year, actually probably over the last 2 years, and a lot of streets in Virginia City, but with a cautious approach since we knew we'd be tearing them up for the sewer project. This is really addressing our obligations there, and then we're also on an ongoing basis taking a look at TRY as well.
Very good. Any questions, sir?
No, but I'm glad to see that Mark Twain's getting some attention. It's been long overdue out there. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we did some work down there last year.
The things get old.
Okay. Any public comment regarding the road rehabilitation project? Hearing none. You get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve and award the low bid for the 2017 road rehabilitation project to Intermountain Slurry Seal Incorporated in the amount of $377,500. This amount encompasses the base bid and bid alternative A, which extended work to include Mary Way and Mark Twain Estates.
Second to motion. It's been moved and second to approve this project. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Moving along now to item number 21. This is the discussion and possible action. These are business license second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Community Development recommends approval of all licenses that are shown on your agenda and in your packet. So the item A through item TT. I believe our preference until the district attorney's office tells me otherwise is to read every name. Allied Building Products, Ameripride Services, Inc., Automated Intelligence, Ballhoff, Inc., Delta Product Corp., Detroit Resources, Inc., Electric Power Systems, Engel Machinery, Inc., Intigy, Inc., Enterprise Landscaping, Inc., Everworks, Inc., Fastenal Company, Five, Diag Corp, Hayward Baker International Industrial, Con Corp, KFC Building Concepts, Labor Finders of Kentucky, Lindy LLC, Lord Corporation, Me Industries, National Property Solutions, Nidec Industrial Automation, USS LLC, Panasonic Energy of North America, Pike View Inspection Services, Rack in Motion, Cell Engineering Services, Inc., Sierra Controls, Southwest Electrotech Services, LLC, Starkings Tahoe, LLC, Superswirl, Sustainable Transport Interstate, Techniquix, Specialty Flooring, Inc., Tayo High Tech Company, Triple Z Logistics, Turner & Townsend, Inc., United States Corporation, Agents, Inc., Valley Group, Inc., Venture Research, Inc.,
Viscom, Inc., Yvonne's Hot Dogs, Capsule Manufacturing, Inc., Chevalier's Custom Auto Restoration, and that is a home-based business in Virginia City, Christaff, Inc., Computype, Inc., and Creative Electron, Inc., all to be approved, A through TG.
Any public comment regarding the second reading of the business licenses? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve items A through TT.
Second your motion. And move a second to approve all items. Your second business license readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 22, public comment. Mr. Phillips.
Yeah, for the record again, Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Item number 22, public comment. I'm going to refer to NRS. You could take notes, Mr. Deputy DA. NRS 244.151, Department of Public Works. Story County Board of County Commissioners may or may not appoint a Director of Public Works. I refer to a copy of the legislation, the council manual, which is on record in the office of the county clerk, dated February 2017, which I'll submit as part of my public comment. There's no public works director in Story County.
Because we may or may not appoint, correct?
Thank you.
Well, you know, and I have the county clerk's office check. This board of county commissioners have never appointed a director of public works. So with all due respect, when you refer to Mr. Jason, it would be good to get that on the agenda and get that cleared up officially, bona fide our public works director. And second, in my public comment, this is NRS 393.030, school district property. Property must be held in the name of the board of trustees of the school district. It's impossible for property to be in the name of the Story County School District. The deeds have to be in the name corporate Story County Board of Trustees for the school district. So when it comes time to talking about buying or selling property, could you please make sure that the deed's in the name of the Board of Trustees, the name corporate? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Almost done, gentlemen. Sam Toll for the record, Gold Hill. I heard Mr. Witten use the term eminent domain to be a solution of having the county take ownership of the depot on D Street. The county currently owns a number of historic buildings, as he pointed out, and has, I'm guessing, a plan for this depot as well. My concern is what that plan is, what we're going to do with that, and how the taking of private property from an individual who is in ownership of that, whether or not his partner wants to sell or not, whether or not the county thinks that they should buy it or not, is in the best interest of all of the county residents. I would point out that the Gold Hill Depot, which the county currently owns, basically languishes unoccupied. And in fact, to my knowledge, only once this year has it been used, and that would be to house the retirement party for Mr. Haymore. I would suggest that before we impose the authority of the state to remove someone's personal property justly compensated, that there be a real reason, a compelling reason, and a plan for what we're going to do with that property. Because simply taking it from someone because it may be perceived as an eyesore or a public hazard that's going to catch fire is not the, at least doesn't meet my criteria for taking private property for the use of someone. We heard that Donald Trump took the property of a little old lady who owned the one little speck of property before he could build his parking lot on one of his casino properties. I think that's disingenuous, and I think that in absence of a plan, I think that it's completely inappropriate for the county to wield that authority on a private property owner.
Thank you,
Matt.
If you want to.
Yep. I intentionally limited my comments today since I have an attorney sitting right next to me, and this item wasn't on the agenda to be discussed. I intended it only as a staff alert to say, these are the things that we might be contemplating and talking about down the road. So things like plans, things like, specifically plans, Mr. Toll, will also be part of the process. I, at least would be my intention, and I would think you would require that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Whitten. Any other public comment?
All right.
Call this meeting adjourned.